In the verses of Scripture we read, it was early in Jeremiah's ministry as a prophet of God. And he was talking to God in chapter 12, and he was complaining a little bit. He was a little bit discouraged. He said, God, I don't understand why you let the wicked prosper. I don't understand why you have allowed them to be happy. I mean, you know what they do. You know their wickedness. And you're a God that is supposed to punish wickedness. And he says, why don't you just pull them out like sheep for the slaughter? I mean, why don't you just line them up and take them to the slaughterhouse and kill them all? And you know, David prayed that often. He didn't understand why God allowed the wicked to prosper. And here's Jeremiah, a prophet of God, saying, yeah, God, these are bad people. Just line them all up and kill them all. And he was looking for God to give him some encouragement. He was looking for God to say, okay, Jeremiah, I hear your prayer. I'll do exactly what you want me to do. I'll destroy him. I mean, Jeremiah was looking for God to say, hey, I'll send lightning from heaven and I'll strike them all dead. Or I'll create great hailstones and rain those hailstones from heaven, hit every one of them in the head and kill every one of them. Or I'll get those she-bears out that attacked those little kids that said something bad about Elijah, called him a bald-headed guy. I'll get those she-bears to come back out, and we'll get all these wicked people. We'll take care of sin in the land. But instead of encouraging Jeremiah, God came back to him and said, Jeremiah, just a minute. Just a minute. I mean, if you are discouraged because I have asked you to run with the footmen, what are you going to feel like when I ask you to start running with the horses? What God was saying is, Jeremiah, you haven't seen anything yet. You think it's tough now? It's going to get a lot worse in the future. And again, this was early in Jeremiah's ministry. And I mean, if you read the book of Jeremiah, you know some of the things that these wicked people that he was talking about did to him. I mean, they arrested him. They put him in stocks. They accused him of being a traitor. They threw him in a well where he sunk in mire. And if somebody hadn't come and rescued him, he would have starved to death in that place and gone down and couldn't breathe and died alone in that well. That murky well, not a well with water, but a murky well. And God was giving Jeremiah a preview in his response to him and said, yeah, I know it's tough now. I know you can't stand the wicked to prosper, and I know that you'd like me to kill them all. But listen, I'm getting you ready because it's going to get worse. The problems are going to get bigger. The challenges are going to get taller. And if you're discouraged now, what he was saying, hey, you're prophesying in your hometown, and the mayor of your town and your neighbors and some of your friends are getting on you for the message that you're delivering for me. What are you going to do when you leave your hometown and I send you to the whole nation of Israel? What are you going to do when not only the mayor, but the king of Israel comes after you? What are you going to do when his court comes after you? What are you going to do when he sends his army and they come after you? I mean, I'm going to ask you to do things that are a lot harder. I'm going to ask you to do things that are a lot more challenging. I'm going to ask you to do things that are going to be a lot more discouraging than what you're facing now. What are you going to do then? And tonight, I'd like to take that little exchange between God and Jeremiah and mention three things to you about his life and our life as it progresses from youth to senior status. And so I have three simple points. Number one, life does move from the simple to the complex, from the easy to the hard. It was in Jeremiah's case. He was facing trouble. Again, at this point, he was only talking to a small group of people, people that he knew. And they didn't like his message. And he tried to tell them, it's not my message, it's a message from God. I'm just a spokesman. He said, don't get mad at me. I'm just a delivery boy. If you're going to get mad at somebody, get mad at God. But they were coming after him. And again, he wanted God to take care of it. He wanted God to take away all his problems. He wanted God to just get rid of all these wicked people. And again, God came to him and he said, look, you think people are mad at you now? You haven't seen anything yet. You think people are upset with you now? Just wait. You're going to see a lot more. And again, there's some young people here tonight. Let me tell you, the easiest time in your life is right now. The best time in your life is right now. Enjoy it. I know some of you say, well, I got all these stupid rules in my life. My mom and my dad watch me like a hawk. My Sunday school teacher is always harping on me. The preacher gets on me sometimes. I don't like the rules that are at school. I don't like the rules that are at home. I don't like the rules that are at church. I'll be glad when I grow up and life gets easier and simpler. I got some news for you. It don't get easier. It don't get simpler. It gets harder. It gets more complex. Let me give you some examples. Let me just give you some examples of what I'm talking about in the cycle of life. The things that we have to learn as individuals get harder the older we grow. Think about a little baby. Now they have to learn some things. They have to learn how to eat. They have to learn how to walk. They have to learn how to talk. Those are things that it's easy for them to learn. I mean, it seems natural. And when you see a little one, take their first steps, and then a few weeks later you see them running at top speed. You hear the first goo, 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 and then before you know, they're carrying on conversations and saying words that you have no idea where they came up with those words. And so a little baby, if you look at what they have to learn, it's simple compared to the things that we got to learn later in life. I mean, when you become a child and you start school, you got to learn how to spell. You got to learn how to do math. Aaron and I were doing multiplication tables yesterday when we were driving in the car. You got to learn how to do math. You got to learn how to do history. You got to learn how to obey. Those things don't come natural. Those things you got to study. Those things you got to work at. And sometimes the ones that are going to school say, well, I'll be glad when I get out of school so I don't have to learn all this stuff. When life gets easier. And then they grow up and they graduate and they got to go to work. They got to learn how to do their job. They got to learn how to balance their budget. They get married. And they got to learn how to be a good husband. And they got to learn how to be a good wife. And then children come along. And then they got to learn how to be a good parent. And the list goes on and on and on. The things that we have to learn don't get easier. They get harder the older we get. You say, well, just a minute now, preacher. I'm 50, 60 years old. I've learned everything I need to learn. Oh, have you? Let me speak from experience. It ain't easy learning that your parents are frail and that one day you have to take care of them like they took care of you. It ain't easy learning how to live alone when you're expected to live with somebody the rest of your life. Amen. It ain't easy learning how to take care of somebody that sooner or later you know she's going to have to move because she can't live by herself. It ain't easy to learn those things. I would submit to you that no matter how old you are, the things that you have to learn are going to be harder the rest of your life. Let me give you another example. The decisions that we have to make, they get harder as we get older. Think about a little baby. They don't have to make any decisions. Mom and dad make all of them for them. I mean, mom and dad decide when they're going to eat. Mom and dad decide what they're going to wear. And then they become a child, and they begin to make decisions for themselves. Well, what game am I going to play? Am I going to play baseball, or am I going to play basketball? Maybe mom and dad will give them the freedom to decide what to wear. Maybe mom and dad will give them some freedom to decide who to have as friends. But they're still influenced strongly by their parents. They're still guided by their parents. And really, as a child, there may be some consequences that they have to bear because of the decisions they make. I mean, if they decide to disobey, they may have to bear the consequence of a spanking from mom and dad. But for the most part, they don't have to live with the consequences of the decisions that they make. Mom and dad insulate them from those consequences. But when we grow up and we become an adult and we make the decision, well, who am I going to marry? Who am I going to spend the rest of my life with? What kind of job am I going to have? What am I going to do to support my family? Where are we going to live? All those decisions, I submit to you, are harder than the decisions we make as a child. And all those decisions, for the most part, mom and dad can't insulate us from the consequences. We make those decisions, and if we make wrong decisions, we have to bear the consequences. And the consequences not only come back to us, they come to people that we love. They come to our spouse. They come to our children. And then, as a senior, we have to make decisions. Am I going to continue to live in my house by myself? Am I going to move into a place that people can help me? And again, I'm beginning to learn those decisions. I am 63 years old, Shaylin. Really, I know you can't believe it. Shaylin said, "Pastor, I can't believe you're 63 years old." I said, "How old do you think I am?" She said, "I thought you were in your 50s. I said, "What do you want, dear? What do you want?" But I'm learning. I'm going to have to help my mom make, my brother and I are going to have to help my mom make some decisions. They get harder as you get older. Another example, one more, and I'll move on to my next point. The temptations that you face, they get more severe the older you get. A little baby, you're tempted to cry when there's nothing wrong. You don't like the squash, so you're tempted to spit it out all over anybody you can get it on. I mean, those are temptations. When you become a little child, you are tempted to disobey. You are tempted to lie. But when you grow up and you become a young adult, you're tempted with drugs. You're tempted with alcohol. You're tempted to cheat. And the older you get, the harder and more severe the temptations comes. And so the things that we have to learn, the decisions that we have to make, the temptations that come after us, they seem hard now. But I think God would say to us, like he said to Jeremiah, "I know it's hard now, but you ain't seen nothing yet." They're going to get harder. They're going to get more complex. The ones you face the rest of your life, life moves from the easy to the hard, from the simple to the complex. Number two, how we meet the hard things in life is determined by the way in which we meet the easy things. What God was telling Jeremiah, I'm going to ask you to do some things that you can't even think about right now. I mean, if I told you everything that you were going to face, you can't bear it. But let me tell you how you're going to handle those harder things and the more challenging things that come into your life are being determined right now by how I'm asking you to run with the footmen. By the challenges that you're facing right now, by the people that are opposing you right now, by the opposition that you face right now, when things get tough and when things get hard, you're going to look back and you're going to say, "Hey, I'm glad I went through the easy stuff. I'm glad I went through the less complex stuff because it's helping me now as things get harder." So again, let me give you some examples. How are you going to do when you have to learn a job? You have to manage your own money. You have to get along with your spouse. You have to raise your kids. How are you going to do when you have to decide who you're going to marry? What you're going to do with your life? Where you're going to live? How are you going to do when you face the temptation when somebody asks you to take the first drink or take the first drug or to be dishonest in some matter? How you face those things are being determined right now. To the young people, you show me how hard you work at school, I will show you what kind of employee you're going to be. You show me how you handle your allowance, I'll get a preview of how you're going to handle your money. You show me how you obey your parents today, I'll tell you how you're going to obey God tomorrow. You show me how you get along with your brother and sister today, I'll give you an indication of how you're going to get along with your spouse in the future. You show me how you handle the temptations of today, the small ones that God has put in your life, I'll show you how you're going to handle the big ones. How we handle the harder stuff that comes along is being determined by how we handle the easy stuff that's already here. Don't think that decisions you to make today about the things in your life won't impact the rest of your life. They will. They will. And then number three, the character and the strength that we need to handle all of life's decisions, all of life's temptations, the things that we must learn are built up on the things that we do every day. I think God was saying to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, I'm building your character, I'm building your strength one day at a time. The character you're going to need, the strength you're going to need to handle the harder challenges that come along, the harder opposition that comes along, I'm building your life right now in the things that you're doing every day to handle those things that are going to come. The things that you do every day determine your character and your strength. I mean, we don't get up one morning and say, I want to improve my character and go do some great deed. We don't get up one morning and say, I'm going to improve my strength, and so we take a pill or a magic elixir to improve our strength. Our strength and our character are improved by the small things that God asks us to do every single day. Again, let me give you some examples. How do you get up? How do you get up in the morning? How do you get up? There are some people that when they're laying in bed and the alarm clock goes off, here's their natural reaction. You recognize what I'm doing? What am I doing? You're hitting the snooze button. I believe that the snooze button was an invention of God. I said that wrong. I believe the snooze button was an invention of the devil. When it's time to get up, we need to have the character to get up. Don't set your alarm at 8 o'clock planning to get up at 8:30 and hit the snooze button 6 times in between. That doesn't build good character. If you don't want to get up until 8:30, get up, set your alarm at 8:30, and when the alarm goes off, get up. I study my Sunday school lesson. I've actually read next week's Sunday school lesson already. And I'll study it Monday, and I'll study it a little bit on Tuesday, and a little bit on Wednesday, not much on Wednesday because I'm getting ready for Wednesday night, but Thursday and Friday. But still, I have found that God speaks to me the most if I do all that preparation, but don't take any notes until Sunday morning. And so every Sunday morning, since I've been teaching Sunday school, I've set my alarm at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I spend 2 hours just making all my notes for my Sunday school lesson. Those of you who have been here might wonder, well, they sure hadn't paid off very much, but that's all right, you can have that opinion. But I found that just the way it works best for me. Now, if I wait till Sunday morning and I have my alarm set at 5 o'clock and I hit my snooze button 7 times before I get out of bed, you're not going to get a very good Sunday school lesson. I have disciplined myself. And I don't want you to think I'm bragging. I tell you what, I wasn't always this way. I used to be a lover of the snooze button. I did. I mean, I would do what I just told you not to do. Just because I wanted to hit it so often, I would set the clock 40 minutes before I got up. I thought I was getting away with something by hitting the snooze button. I get to sleep another 10 minutes. And another 10 minutes. Oh, and then, oh, this is so good. Another 10 minutes. What? How stupid can you be? You're waking up six times before you get up. Why don't you just set the alarm for the time you want to get up and forget the snooze button? But I've got to the point that on Sunday mornings, I wake up about 5 minutes till five, and I turn the alarm off before it even goes off. Now, you might say, that's you're a character. I want to tell you, that's character. Getting up when you're supposed to get up. That is something we do every single day that builds character. Because if I can discipline myself in that simple thing of getting up when I'm supposed to get up, it means I got a good chance of disciplining my life in other areas. Again, let me talk to the young people tonight. How do you do your jobs around the house? When mom asks you to clear the table, when she asks you to do the dishes or put them in the dishwasher, take them out of the dishwasher, or when dad asks you to take out the garbage, do you say, glory to God. Here is another opportunity for me to be obedient to my mother. Glory to God. Here is another opportunity for me to be obedient to my dad. And you rub your hands together and you say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. And you immediately, with a smile on your face and joy in your heart, get right at it. Or do you say, oh, what a slave driver. The only reason these two had kids so that they wouldn't have to work anymore. Ha, 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 just wait. Just wait. And you complain. And you're slow to be obedient. Now, again, we would probably think you're a little bit crazy is when if your parents ask you to do something and you say, glory to God, another app. But you know what? It builds your character when you say, yes, ma'am, I'll do it right now. Yes, sir, I'll do it right now. That builds your character. Because you see, one day it's not going to be mom and dad. It's going to be your employer. One day it's not going to be mom and dad. It's going to be your God. And how you respond to your employer and how you respond to your God is going to make a lot of difference in how your life is going to turn out as things get harder and as things get more complex. So here's what I'm trying to say tonight. I'm not going to get done any earlier, but I'm going to finish. God's real. He has put you where you are and the circumstances that you are in, regardless of your age tonight, regardless of your station in life. He has put you where you are and given you what he wants you to do to build your strength and to build your character. How you approach the things that people in your life right now, put there by God, ask you to do. How you face the challenges that are in your life right now, put there by God. He is using to prepare you for what's coming tomorrow, what's coming next week, what's coming next year. And so I close by just saying, here's some things that every single one of us, regardless of our age, ought to do every single day. You ought to read this book every day. Ought not a day to go by that you don't spend some time in this book. You ought not to only read it, you ought to study it. You ought to memorize it. You ought to hide a little bit of it in your heart every day and keep it there. Every day, you ought to pray. Every day, you ought to thank God for who he is. Every day, you ought to thank God for what he's done. Every day, you ought to thank God for being your God, for saving you, for making you part of his family. And then number three, every day you ought to expect him to come. Every day. I mean, every day you ought to get up. I've told you about my pastor, Brother Roberts. Every day he'd get up, and before he did anything else, he'd go to a window that looked toward the east and say, "Lord Jesus, are you coming today?" He said, "I say like the Apostle John, even so, come quickly, come quickly." And I believed he lived every day of his life with the expectation that that day he could hear the trumpet sound and he could hear that loud voice from heaven say, "Come up hither." If we lived our life like that, we sure wouldn't go places that we wouldn't want to be if God called us home. We sure wouldn't get involved in things that we wouldn't want to be involved in if God came to call us to heaven. We would live our life in a way that was pleasing to the Lord, knowing that any moment he could call us away to heaven. And what a shame it would be if he had to call us out of a place or out of an action that was displeasing to him. Life gets harder. If you're looking, you know, I thought when I retired that life would get so much easier, that I would have so much more time to get the things done that I needed to get done. But I want to tell you something. Debbie's been gone for 2 years. My to-do list, even without my wife, is longer now than it's been my whole entire life. I got more things to do than I can get done. I got more things I want to get done than I physically have time to do. Adam and I talk about it all the time. Some of you have asked him to do things. He said, "Dad, I just can't get to it." I said, "Son, you're going to learn. It ain't going to get easier. It's going to get worse." I mean, you think you're looking for a time when you'll have less demands on your time? It ain't coming. It ain't coming. Just do, you know, set your priorities and do what you need to do and just tell people that you'll get it done, but it's just going to take a while to get it done. Now listen, as we face that prospect of life getting harder, it's a whole lot worse if you have to face it alone. Tonight I want to tell you about a friend that will walk every day with you. A friend that has walked where he is asking you to walk. A friend who has faced everything that he's going to ask you to face. A friend who promises to never leave us or forsake us. And a friend that says, "I may not keep you out of the fire, but I'll be there to go through it with you. I may not keep you out of the hard places, but I'll be there to go through those hard places with you. I'll help you make the decisions. I'll help you endure the hard places. I'll help you as you face the temptations." And of course, I'm talking about my friend, Jesus Christ. He wants to be your friend too. If you don't know him as your Savior, let me remind you real quickly tonight that you're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. It's to be separated from him forever and ever and ever. And I was talking to somebody yesterday at the funeral. We were talking about hard times that come in our life. And he made the statement, and I heartily concurred with him. He said, I don't know how people that don't have the Lord go through things like this without his presence and without his comfort and without his strength. And I don't either. I don't know how people face the everyday things in life that come into every life without knowing God, without having the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life to help them just make it through the day. Make it through the day. Well, he promises to do that. But he doesn't force himself on any of us. He offers the gift of salvation to every person. We have to take it. If you're here tonight and you've never taken it, would you tonight? Not a better time to do it than right now. Not a better time than right now. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that's in it. I pray tonight that you would just take these jumbled up thoughts that I had, Father, and that you would put them together in our hearts and our minds, and we would learn tonight what you want us to learn. We'd be encouraged tonight the way you want us to be encouraged. We'd be instructed tonight the way you want us to be instructed. Speak to every heart. If there is somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, would you help them to just come? Would you help them to come so that we could take the Bible and show them from your word how they can be one of your children, how they can claim the Holy Spirit, how they can secure that home in heaven. Father, maybe there's Christians here tonight that need to make a decision for you. Maybe you've talked to somebody that's already saved about getting baptized. Maybe you've talked to Christians that have been saved and baptized about joining the church. And I just pray, Father, that you would speak to every heart, that we'd listen and that we'd be obedient. If there's those to come, those that need to come, and just use the altar, get some things straight between you and them, I pray they do that tonight in this time. Just bless this time of invitation. I ask in Christ's name. Amen.